Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter's heart stopped momentarily, and then it started to race. In a flash, the last 3 years' events passed through his mind. It had been a whirlwind adventure from the very first day that he had met Jesus. He can remember the time that Jesus had first called him as if it was yesterday. Back then, in fact, just like last night, it had been a lousy night's fishing. They had caught nothing. When this new preacher man, Jesus, turned up and told them that he wanted to use their boat as his pulpit so that he could talk to the crowds, Peter still couldn't believe that he'd agreed to what Jesus had said. But he was glad that he did, because after Jesus had finished speaking, he commanded them to cast out their nets again, and they had caught an unbelievable amount of fish. But it was then that the preacher man Jesus told Peter to follow him. Peter's fishing partners, James and John, were already on the shore. They were washing and fixing their nets, allowing them to dry in the sun. And they too had witnessed this whole thing. And so when they were asked, they too readily followed Jesus. It seemed a crazy thing to do at the time, but there was something inexplicably compelling in his voice that would not be refused. Others had felt it too. His brother Andrew, his friends Philip and Nathaniel, Matthew the tax collector, in fact, all of the 12 who would become Jesus' closest companion. But looking back, it was no wonder that they couldn't resist his voice, because in the last 3 years, they had been there when that voice had calmed the storms. They had been there when that voice had commanded the dead to rise, and the blind to see, and the lame to walk, and the mute to speak, and the deaf to hear. That voice had humbled the proud. That voice had brought joy to the broken-hearted, peace to those who were in anguish, and hope to the lost. That voice had revealed the truth in God's word, the truth in the Holy Scriptures, in a way that only an author's voice could. And that was it. They had believed in Jesus. They had believed that he was the author of the Holy Scriptures. They had believed that he was the Messiah. And more than that, they had come to believe that Jesus was God himself in human form. Jesus was quite simply the most amazing person that Peter had ever met. Peter would do anything for Jesus. Anything. Well, that's what he thought up to about a week ago. Jesus had given so much for his friends. He had given so much to complete strangers. People that the world weren't interested in. Jesus had given so much of himself, and yet when Jesus needed a friend, all of his had deserted him, Peter included. Jesus himself had said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus had done for his followers. And what followed was the most cruel and violent punishment that Peter had witnessed in his life. The beatings, the whipping, the punches, the spitting, crucifixion. What kind of depravity? What kind of depraved mind invents such a method of capital punishment? What kind of depraved mind invents such a method of torture? But what kind of love is it that submits to so much pain so willingly? What kind of love submits so much pain so willingly? And that was it. Jesus was dead. And yet a week ago, he had appeared to them alive. And then again, when Thomas was there, but Peter couldn't yet understand what all this meant. So he had decided to go back to what he knew best. Perhaps the familiarity of fishing would ease the guilt and the pain that made his heart ache so much. Peter blinked hard as his mind refocused on the question Jesus had asked him. "Peter, do you love me more than these?" He did love Jesus. He knew he loved Jesus more than he had loved anyone before. But his actions on that fateful night when he had denied Jesus said otherwise. He loved following Jesus. But when it came to loving sacrificially, he had been rocked to the core. They had a word for that kind of love: agape. Such a beautiful word, but it stung Peter as Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" Agape. Do you love me sacrificially more than these? Peter looked around. He saw his friends looking at him, and he saw the marks of his trade, the boats and the nets. Did Jesus mean more than his friends or more than the things that were there? Peter couldn't be sure, but he couldn't help but remember how he had boasted that even if all others deserted Jesus, he wouldn't. Peter's mind was racing, yet the Lord's question still went unanswered. Peter crafted the words carefully in his mind. Peter heard a voice and was almost surprised to find that it was his own. It seemed somehow distant and reedy. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He knew that he had dodged the question, for he hadn't told Jesus that he loved him sacrificially. How could he? After the way that he had treated Jesus, instead of agape, Peter had chosen to use the word filio, much more of a familial friendship kind of a love. And then Jesus said something that surprised Peter: "Feed my lambs." They seemed bizarre and strange words to hear, and yet there was hope in them. could it be that even after everything that Peter had done, that Jesus yet had a plan that included Peter? Peter looked up at Jesus and noticed that Jesus was still looking at him intently. Jesus' voice was calm, gentle even, but firm nevertheless, and as always, demanded a response. "Peter, do you love me?" Again, Peter smarted when he heard that word agape, sacrificial love. Peter racked his mind. He knew that Jesus had seen through his previous answer using filio instead of agape. But he had nothing. Nothing. So he repeated his first answer, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Again, that weird response from Jesus that Peter found strangely comforting. "Feed my sheep." Then a third time, Jesus asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" And this question was the hardest of all to take, for this time Peter noticed that Jesus himself also substituted the word agape with filio. In other words, Jesus was asking Peter, "Do you even love me as a friend?" Peter was deeply wounded by this, as he knew that in spite of everything, he did love Jesus. And he appealed to Jesus' divine knowledge to say, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And he told Peter to follow him. This is an intensely difficult passage to read and to ponder. Who of us would have liked to have been in Peter's place that evening, morning? I mean, couldn't Jesus have just simply taken Peter to one side and had a quiet word with him? What was Jesus doing here? Was Jesus reprimanding Peter? This isn't Jesus getting back at Peter. This is not a public castigation of Peter. What it is a very public restoration of Peter. In fact, Jesus uses this very experience to commission Peter into church leadership. Fallen, broken Peter was exactly the person that Jesus wanted to use to build his church. And within some 50 days or so later, Peter, this broken man, with God's power in him, was speaking boldly of the saving grace of God. And what about you? Perhaps you can look back at your own Christian life and you can point to a time when you burned so brightly for Jesus. But if you're honest with yourself, your heart, your love for Jesus has cooled somewhat of late. And Jesus says to you, "Do you love me? Do you love me sacrificially more than all of these things that you have accumulated in your life?" You see, I don't think that this is a one-off episode just for Peter. I don't think we just need to look at Peter and say, "Well, that was the Lord dealing with Peter." I think for many of us, we can truly say that we love Jesus. He is our friend. He is our brother. He is our Savior. We love following him. But like Peter, so often when it comes to the crunch, we have let Jesus down. We have deserted him. We have fallen into idolatries where we have chosen to desire created things rather than the Creator. We lie. We gossip. We hurt those that Christ has given his life for. We are critical. We resist the advance of God's work. And people would be shocked if they knew what went on in our inmost thoughts. And Jesus says, "Do you love me? Are you ready to let all of these things go for me?" You see, Jesus wants to restore you as he restored Peter. There is an incredible symmetry about this whole passage. We went all the way back to Peter's first encounter, or actually his first encounter, but the encounter where Jesus called Peter. And there's such a similarity. The lousy night's fishing, the incredible catch of fish, the shoreside conversations. And that statement, "Follow me." Jesus asks you tonight, "Do you love me? Because if you do, I want you to follow me." And the road we're going to take is narrow, it's rough, there's no room for all that baggage that you're carrying at the moment. You accumulated too much baggage in this life. Jesus says, "Put down your nets. Leave those things here. Follow me." He wants to restore you to himself. There's only one way we get to be restored with Jesus, and that's through his death and his resurrection. And the Lord's Supper reminds us of that. And we're going to go straight into communion in a moment. The body of Jesus sacrificed in our place. His lifeblood poured out as an offering for us. Let's gather around that table now. I'm going to ask those who are helping with the communion to join me just now.